Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation to the Bob Enyart Live Telethon. During our telethon, we're offering a free gift, Bob's video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, when you become a new subscriber to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month. And with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. By becoming a new subscriber to any of Bob's monthly products, making a new monthly donation of $20 or more, or a one-time donation of $50, you'll receive the video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, free of charge, special for the Bob Enyart Live Telethon.
Warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we will be talking about the miracle baby, that tragic story where the baby died after being blown out of a little girl blown out of her home miles away and landed in a field. That baby has now died. Also, the Huffington Post, the Denver edition has announced a new format that they're going to introduce, and they've asked me to write an article for perhaps the first article for this new format I'll talk about in a moment. And the debate on a website hosted over in England, League of Reason, a UK website, the debate I'm in with Aaron Ra, this weekend I posted in round 3. And the entire post is about the whole soft tissue dinosaur issue. Real interesting. In fact, I think it's, for a time at least, currently, it is undoubtedly the entire internet's very best catalog, a chronological listing of all the refereed scientific journal papers that are claiming that we have found soft tissue, original biological material from dinosaurs. So I have created this catalog, and we've posted it in the debate, and so we'll see what happens with the atheists and the evolutionists over there in England and around this country as they're considering all that evidence. And Aaron Ra, the atheist who I'm debating, we'll see what kind of a response he has. But it is, for people who are interested in that topic, and we link to the Aaron Ra debate from our website, kgov.com. Just search for his name, for example, Aaron, A-R-O-N, or Aaron Ra, with a Ra at the end. By the power of Ra, I think he's falling apart in the debate. At any rate, you could just click from kgov.com over to the debate and see this, what I believe is, the world's best publicly available list of all the evidence that we have discovered from a T-Rex and a Hadrosaur and a Mosasaur and Archaeopteryx and other dinosaurs, that we have discovered original biological material, which many atheists are very much in denial over because it's strong evidence toward our claim that these things didn't live millions of years ago, but only thousands of years ago. Also, I got a wonderful letter from a veteran from the U.S. Air Force from Alabama, where he and his wife, they homeschool 5 kids. One is about to graduate, their oldest son, and he's also recently earned the rank of Eagle Scout. We have 3 boys currently in the Boy Scouts, all heading toward their Eagle Scout rank. And Wow, what a neat letter from Alabama, handwritten. Remember when people used to send handwritten letters? Remember those days? Back when I was young. We should frame this. And so one of the listeners to Bob Benyart Live over the internet is asking for a congratulatory letter for his son who's earned Eagle Scout. And boy, what an honor to do that. So we'll have to send that right off. All right, now. The Huffington Post. The Denver edition, as far as I know, the Huffington Post, a national liberal online news outlet, has about 8 cities where they publish online local editions of their paper. And the editor of the Denver edition of the Huffington Post, and by the way, over the years, when the local Denver reporters have contacted us here at Bob Benyart Live for comments on various news stories, quite often that ends up in the national edition of the Huffington Post because, of course, your local affiliates, so to speak, feed the national network, so to speak. And so they're rolling out a new format, a new feature, a new concept, which here at Bob Benyart Live, we've been talking about this idea for 20 years. For 20 years. You know, you have all kinds of talk show hosts, all kinds of columnists, but it would be so interesting to see which talk show hosts are the most persuasive, which talk show hosts are able to provide evidence to bring over to their claim people who had disagreed with them. That'd be interesting. So the Huffington Post, at least in Denver, I don't know elsewhere, they're going to try to do that, and they're creating a debate format where they'll have a pro and a con on an issue, and before their readers read either article, they're going to ask them to rate their own position on whatever issue is being debated, whether you strongly agree or across the scale strongly disagree. Then you read the pro or the con, and then you rate your position again to see if you've been persuaded, and then they're going to rate the pros and the cons, not by popularity, but by persuasiveness, and that's fun. That's right up our alley. That's what we've tried to do on the air and on the internet for 20 years, 5 days a week for all that time. Provide people with an answer for the hope that is within us of what we believe from our Christian worldview, a biblical Christian worldview. And the Huffington Post, their average reader, of course, is liberal. People tend to gravitate toward the media outlet that they most agree with. I listen to NPR, National Public Radio, because I disagree with them virtually always on almost everything that they report on. So I could listen to the choir, or I could listen to the opposition and see what they're saying, and I like to do that, so I'm aware and ready to respond when I meet people in my own life or on the radio where people have been seduced by some liberal lie. So I've been asked by the Denver editor to write an article which will be in the first round of debates with this new format, and it's due to be published this week. And so if it is, I submitted it a couple weeks ago, and so we're looking forward. This is Monday, March 5th, so we're looking forward to that coming online, and if and when it does, we'll let you know about that. Okay. The miracle baby. What a tragic story, and this kind of tragedy helps us, I think, to understand and to take more care when we speak and attribute things to God. You remember, of course, the miracle on the Hudson. It was a U.S. Airways plane that was going down. It was going down, and it was going down over the Hudson River. And they had a captain, Sullenberger, and well-trained, he didn't panic, and he landed on the Hudson River. He landed carefully and enabled the plane to stay afloat long enough so that emergency vehicles on the water and ferries could get to the plane and rescue the people. And if I recall, everyone was saved, everyone. Nobody died. And it was called the Miracle on the Hudson. And I remember later that year, was it? That was back a few years ago. Later that year, there was another plane crash over the Hudson. It was a small plane and a helicopter, and they collided. And the rotors of the helicopter immediately were obliterated. And so, of course, the stubs, I used to work for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. Of course, by the inertia, the stubs kept rotating. But that helicopter, it adopted all the aerodynamics of a safe, and it plummeted straight into the Hudson River. And the plane went down also, and everyone was killed. That's a great tragedy, of course. But when the Miracle on the Hudson occurred and it was reported here at Bob Benyart Live, we asked people, Christians, to not say that that was a miracle. It's not a miracle. It was a fortuitous event with a very well-trained pilot doing his best to keep his cool and give his passengers the greatest chance of survival. And it turned out well. Very often, these things don't turn out well. And so we have this precious little 15-month-old girl from Indiana who was ripped from her home by a tornado. Tragically, that tornado killed her parents and her two siblings. And now she, this little 15-month-old girl, is being buried with her family. She was transported through the air 10 miles from their home and landed in a field. And it's startling that she was found. It's just startling that she was found, this little Angel Babcock. She was found and brought to a hospital, the Cozair Children's Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. She had suffered head injuries, and she was called widely around the country the miracle baby. But God doesn't save babies just to have them killed from their injuries. That's not a God-style miracle as you read through the whole Bible. And there are a lot of miracles in the Bible. In fact, we document every one that we could identify in my life's work called The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible. Chapter 10 is called Miracle Dynamics. Actually, it's called Details Galore. But we have it retitled, a summary of it online in an article titled Miracle Dynamics. And we not only list every miracle and series of miracles in the Bible with the references so you could find them in your copy of the Bible, and we have a description of what happened in the miracle, but then also we provide an assessment of what was the reaction to the miracle by the people who see the miracle and even by the people who experience the miracle. And I tell you, the results are startling, and there are many, many Bible verses that confirm the results that we came up with in this research, which are counterintuitive and shocking to most Christians. Most Christians, even when they hear this, even when they know in their heart of hearts that this is the message of the Bible and its presentation of hundreds of miracles, even when they know it, they can't allow themselves to believe what they know in their heart. They just can't do it. It's too painful. So people tend to ignore the teaching of the Bible on this topic. But the bottom line is that when people see miracles, when they witness them, undeniable miracles in Scripture, or when they experience the miracles by the hand of God to their own benefit, overwhelmingly, not every time, but the vast majority of times, far more than 90% of the time, the response is not positive. It's not positive. People are not thankful to God. They're not grateful. They don't grow in their faith. In fact, quite often what happens when God does miracles is it hardens people's hearts. Their hearts get harder, and their hatred of him increases when they see him do miracles, to the point where the prophet or the apostle or Jesus Christ himself does a miracle and people want to kill him for it. They want to kill him. And even the believers who experience miracles, very often the effect on them is that their faith gets weaker. You'd think your faith would get stronger. Wouldn't you think that when you see a miracle? It turns out when you go through, now people, they just don't want to hear this, which astounds me because wherever the truth leads, it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Christians generally have a credibility problem where unbelievers don't believe us because so many things we say are manifestly not true. And so we tend to cut each other a lot of slack, but unbelievers don't. And so Jesus Christ himself maintained the highest level of integrity because the truth will set you free, and misinformation and lies primarily serve to bring people further from the God of truth. So when Christians claim things that are not true, it just hurts our credibility and makes it less likely that somebody is going to trust our testimony and trust Jesus Christ, who we witness about. So we have that online. We have a summary of it called Miracle Dynamics. Just go to kgov.com, click on Writings, and it's there. In fact, you could also just Google Miracle Dynamics or Bob Enyart and Miracles, and you'll see it. But in this case, this little girl, what happened to her was characterized nationwide as a miracle, but we see that this is not what you would read about in the Bible as a miracle of God. We've heard televangelists tell people who have cancer that they're healed, and those people celebrate, and they go home, and 8 days later or 6 weeks later, they die of cancer. And when the televangelist is confronted, he says, well, that was a different cancer. They were healed of the cancer that they had when they came to see me on stage and on TV. And that, of course, is all a scam. But Christians think somehow they're honoring God if they defend the scam. You're not honoring God when you defend a charlatan. You are not honoring God. With the miracle on the Hudson, you know, someone who agreed with us here at Bob Enyart Live that that was not a miracle was the pilot, Chesley Sullenberger, Sully. The whole nation called him Sully. And he agreed that it was not a miracle. If a plane comes down, right, there have been many instances where people have survived plane crashes. If a plane comes down out of the sky, and let's say it's heading straight for the ground. It's traveling over 1,000 miles an hour. And it hits the ground. And everyone on board survives. Everyone survives. They're all standing there in the field when there's just a poof of where the plane hit. And they're all standing there with their carry-on luggage. That'd be a miracle. That would be a miracle. Now, what happens, and it happened on 9/11 in Pennsylvania, is that a plane comes down filled with people. I know there are crazy folks who think there were no people on the plane, or there was no plane, or no plane went into the Pentagon, or whatever, but I'm sorry for them. When a plane comes down full of people at an enormous rate of speed and hits the ground, virtually straight into the ground, not only are the people all dead, they all die, but the plane is virtually vaporized. So that would be a miracle. But when there's a car crash and six people get killed and somebody survives, first of all, you don't have the authority from God to speak on his behalf. It's wrong to impersonate an officer. It's far more wrong to impersonate God and to take it upon yourself to declare, thus saith the Lord, God saved this person, God wanted this person saved and all the other people dead. Jesus Christ got angry at those who would presume that in the Gospels, in the book of Luke, chapter 13, And we talk about this in detail in my debate with D. James Kennedy's professor of New Testament from the seminary down in Florida, Dr. Samuel Lamerson. He and I had a written debate, 10 rounds, moderated at theologyonline.com, on the future. Is the future settled or open? And we talk all through that teaching of the Lord's in the Gospel of Luke. So when a tragedy happens, Christians should not be interpreting it as though they know why God did this. God could get just as angry at you for doing that as Jesus got at those who applied a superstitious interpretation in his day when the Tower of Siloam in Jerusalem fell and it killed 18 people. And Christians then, sorry, there were no Christians yet, and people then interpreted that as, well, here's why God did that, and the Lord was angry. He said, no. And then he talked about some Galileans who came from northern Israel, headed to Jerusalem, and the wicked Pontius Pilate had them murdered. And Jesus, he told us the superstitious interpretation of even believers at the time, what they'd think about that. And the Lord said, no. So we have the same thing happen today. And then the unbeliever will hear about the miracle baby and see that the baby suffered and died and say to the Christian, or at least think it, might be your cousin or your aunt. And she might not say it to you, but she's thinking, what kind of a miracle is that? You believe anything. You don't have credibility. You say you believe Jesus rose from the dead. You believe anything. And it harms the spreading of the gospel. In the Bible, we are told repeatedly that when people ask for miracles, it is a manifestation of the sin of their flesh. Jesus got sick of it. Couldn't you imagine if you were a wealthy dad and you had a lot of kids and your kids have grown up and they're constantly are asking you for money? Wouldn't you get sick of it? Wouldn't you realize that the more money you gave them and the more times you bailed them out of trouble, the worse off they would be? I mean, isn't that obvious to pretty much everyone in the world? And it's the most obvious to the wealthy parents who can't stop themselves. They keep giving their kids money, knowing they're destroying their kids, but they can't stop themselves. It's a lifelong pattern. And that's a common phenomenon where we do things that make us feel better, even though the things we do, we can see are hurting the people we're doing them for. It's common. It's difficult to deal with. But God in the Bible, he lays it out and he shows the more miracles I do, the more people harden their hearts. It happened with Pharaoh. It happened with the entire nation of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. God did undeniable miracles for 40 years and they hated him. God did the miracles through the hand of Moses. They hated Moses. And the prophets did miracles and the people hated the prophets. And the cities where Jesus did most of his mighty works, those cities hated Jesus Christ, so much so that the Lord cursed them. I don't know if you remember that, but the Lord put a curse on three cities. And the Bible says that these were the cities in which he did most of his mighty works, his miracles, signs, and wonders. And he cursed them. You recall that? That's in our debate on the future. Is the future settled or open? And it is also in this article, Miracle Dynamics. I think you'd want to at least look at that. I highly recommend the debate. Is the future settled or open? I think you'll absolutely love it. And as with everything at Bob and Yurt Live, there's a money-back guarantee. And as with so many of the things we do, not everything we do, but so many of the things we do, we make an effort to present absolutely the best material available anywhere in the world on a particular topic. So it's really hard to get a listing of every miracle and miracle event, series of miracles in the Bible, with the references and the description of the miracle and the assessment of the effects of the miracle, that's hard to find. You might find a book from 40 years ago by Herbert Lockyer, All the Miracles of the Bible. You could buy that, but that won't list all the miracles in the Bible for you. It'll get a lot of them. And whether it's scientific papers for soft tissue in dinosaurs, we try to provide the best that's available, the very best, online, so that people could be persuaded that the history in the Bible is true, and the fabrication of the Big Bang and Darwinism and all that's not true. In the billions of years, it's not true. So you might want to get this debate, Battle Royale 10, from us on the future. Is the future settled or open? That will help us with our telethon that we're approaching $21,000 now of our $30,000 goal. Or the plot, an overview of the whole Bible, which is my life's work, including chapter 10 on miracles and healing, which you can only get either in that book form or on an audio CD, actually an MP3 or downloadable audio from us. You can read the summary of it for free at kgov.com under writings. Just look for Miracle Dynamics. But otherwise, you'd need to look in those sources. The plot for miracles and the debate on the future, is the future settled or open, for the Lord's teaching on when bad things happen, should we be interpreting them to tell others what God meant by these things? That is utter superstition. It's like cultists who read chicken entrails or tea leaves, and they say, look at the chicken entrails in the sink. We could tell you what it means, why they ended up like that. That's superstition, and we need to be better than that. God bless you.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.